welcome to FalconCast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm Matt Moore. Next to me is Jay Adams and Reed Farron. Guys, we're a week through training camp. Seems like only yesterday we were talking about the training camp preview on the FalconCast. First of all, how are you guys doing? And second of all, give me, you know, kind of your Reader's Digest version of how the first week of camp's going.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I think the camp schedule.
You haven't hit the dog days yet.
Not yet, but I'm starting to feel the strain of the camp schedule itself. But you know, we're keeping the energy up and moving forward. But that's what I've noticed from the guys on the field is the energy, the intensity. It's there. A lot of spirited practices, which Smitty has promised, and I think he's delivering on that. There's been some really good stuff out there.
Still haven't experienced the Atlanta heat quite yet, as we're waiting, and we're enjoying that. But I'm also enjoying watching the offensive and defensive line with coaches Mike Tice and Brian Cox. You can't get two more intense guys, which is only going to benefit this team in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we like to do this on the FalconCast. We did it a lot in the offseason, and it was beneficial for everyone. We really like hearing from the fans and you know, all of you out there, one, we appreciate you watching the FalconCast, and two, we really like your interaction on social media. So we wanted to get some fan questions for this week's FalconCast. We got some really good ones. We got a lot, and we had to narrow it down so we could get it all in this FalconCast. But I'm just going to start right now from Kurt Whitmire. Guys, I've heard a lot about Travion Robinson impressing a camp. What do you see his impact being this year? And, you know, that speaking of Travion Robinson, he's kind of been the buzz a lot these past few days at camp. That's all I've been hearing about.
Yeah, it seemed like he was really just ready to get the pads on because that's when he really started to show up was you got those 2 days. You started Monday, Tuesday, the pads went on, and all of a sudden, boom, you start hearing about Travion Robinson. I think a big part of that is the work that he did in the offseason to increase his strength. I mean, this is a guy that was already known as one of the top weight room guys on the Falcons roster, but now he's come out to the field and he spent the offseason learning how to utilize that strength to his benefit on the field. He says it's one thing to be strong in the weight room, but it's another thing to find out how to use it on the field. That's one of the things that he really worked on. Now, the thing with Travion is that it's crowded right now. It is really crowded right now, and you kind of you come into camp and he's kind of one of those guys that you're like, okay, he's got to be on the bubble, right? His strength is really starting to set him apart. And when you start to talk about, okay, the pads go on and you're looking for separating factors, we've got one with him. He has not lost many battles that I've seen, and he's really made the center position between Joe Hawley and Peter Kahns kind of a frustrating one for those two guys because he's really given them some headaches so far. Now, it's important to note here that the preseason is really going to be the proving ground for Travion Robinson as to whether he can get a 53-man roster spot. Like I said, it is crowded. There's some veterans there. But all signs so far through 2 days of pads point to maybe a breakout year.
I second that. I mean, obviously you guys can speak to more of the on-field play watching the last couple of years, but at 6'4", 304 pounds, you mentioned the offseason strength and conditioning, putting on the size, the quickness, and the ability. But I'm going to speak a little bit to the off-the-field. When I'm coming in the mornings, this is the first guy in, the last guy out, and you can't help but love that, especially a guy like Coach Cox. He's going to embrace a guy like that and like to see the ethic, the work ethic on and off the field, and he hopes to make the most of it with each and every practice and then heading into preseason.
Now, when we drafted Travion back in 2012 in the seventh round, I mean, seventh rounders are gambles, right? You don't know what you're going to get out of these guys, and if you can get, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 years out of them, you consider that a success. But we've seen some successful seventh rounders come through the Falcons organization in its history, and, you know, that's, I think, should prove to Travion that, you know, the it's an uphill battle, but it's not an insurmountable challenge for him to get past you know, these cuts and make an impact. So what the impact is going to be in 2014, I mean, first of all, he's just got to make the roster, and I think from there we'll see. But man, he's looking good so far.
His rookie year, he caught a lot of eyes in the preseason.
Yes,
and doing the same thing he's kind of been doing in practice. And then it just kind of, you know, he was just there.
Yeah.
And he was on the team. Some days he'd be inactive for game days. And you're right. Now he's got to take that next level. And it looks like he's trying to do that at camp right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still waiting, Jay, for you to – we got to do a segment where you arm wrestle Travion Robinson. That'd
no
be fun to
way.
Watch, right?
He would kill me.
Ah, I
he
think
would
that would be
absolutely
an awesome feature
me.
On AtlantaFalcons.com. I'm ready for that. All right, next question. The Walker man, He wants to know, I think Walker Man might be the first person to have two questions asked on the podcast. Maybe. Congratulations. Name one player on offense and one player on defense that surprised you most so far in camp.
Well, I'm going to go right back to the positions that we were just talking about, and I'm going to say on offense, for me, it's Joe Hawley. And there's not a whole lot as far as the physicality of Joe Hawley that surprises me. What surprises me is the leadership and the confidence that I've seen from him during camp practices. He is coming in and owning that center position, and I think that's what you want to see out of a guy who, you know, he's on his second contract now, and he's been around the organization for a while. You've developed him. So what I like to see out of Joe is just the confidence to know, hey, this is my spot to lose. I am owning this spot. For defense, I'm just going to go with Travian. It's been a real surprise to see him show out as much as he has, especially on one-on-ones against the offensive line, against starting or guys projected to be starters on offensive line. To me, that's a huge surprise, and we've already kind of discussed him a bit.
Offensively, I could go with the easy Jake Matthews pick, and only saying that because he hasn't surprised on the field, but he surprised in that I haven't seen him lose a rep. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy has been well advertised, well promoted. He's got the football pedigree with his family, Bruce Matthews in the Hall of Fame, but he has not lost a rep and the swagger that he brings. Then we talked to Matt Ryan earlier this week, and he had mentioned even just in the practice, you know, in the practice meetings or the meetings before practice, the film room, they have the guys doing the stunts off air. They had him up on stage singing, showed his personality there, didn't back down. So the confidence from every aspect on and off the field is there, continues to shine. We also mentioned Patrick DeMarco. He continues to look solid in practice, showing out with his reps and the schemes that Coach Cutter can use him in 2014 is something to be desired this season. Defensively, I love what Josh Wilson's doing. We talked off camera about the reps that he's getting, battling for that nickel spot, and I didn't realize how fast he was. Never covered him in person, but watching him out here on the field, he's showing that speed, which is obviously coveted at the safety position. So those would be my two guys. Jake Matthews, obviously, Patrick DeMarco, and the third guy in defense being Josh Wilson.
I think we're starting to see on the offensive side of things, you know, we talk about camp battles all the time, but, you know, nobody really gets excited about a fullback battle, right? You know, but you've got DeMarco there who's a veteran, and you got a couple of undrafted guys who are pushing him. DeMarco looked fantastic when the Falcons did the Oklahoma drill, which was all that. If you want to talk about camp surprises, that was a surprise to see them do that. But DeMarco really, really looked good during that. Nobody stopped him. I mean, he ran the ball with such aggression that I haven't seen in a long time, especially from the fullback spot. You know, the thought was that Roosevelt Nix or Maurice Higgins would kind of push him, and I don't know that battle is that close anymore. We'll see how it goes because, again, the preseason's a big training ground and proving ground for these types of battles. But DeMarco looks good.
Yeah, I'm going to throw two out real quick. Like Devin Hester, you know, you knew all about him as far as the returner. I've been super surprised and impressed with how well he is as a receiver. He's really stepped in, you know, the line behind Julio, Roddy, and Harry, and just he's catching everything. He looks good on his routes. It's been really pleasant to watch. I'll also throw a guy that, you know, was a surprise last year, made the team, and has kind of gone, you know, under the radar this camp. That's Jop Lobartu. Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's doing everything he's supposed to be doing out there. Looks like he's fundamentally – looks like he did a lot of work in the offseason to get prepared for this camp and make it not just a one-hit wonder for Jop
Lobartu. I think both mentally and physically with Jop. I mean, he looks bigger. He's added some weight to him. But the read and react time is much smaller now for him, and you can see that in a lot of the reps that he's taken out there.
All right, here we go from Minced GD. All right, with Steven Jackson's injury, how excited/nervous should I be about Freeman's ability as a rookie?
You know, I would scratch off nervous and I'd just go excited. I can't wait to see this guy against some different colored jerseys because he is showing out. He's been showing out since he got here. But just his vision and his ability to identify a hole and find it and cut through it is I haven't seen it in a while. And we've had some quick running backs. You've got Quiz and you've got Antoine Smith who both have that quality. But I think Freeman maybe just has a little bit of an edge in that area. Freeman's just he comes with a load of tangibles and intangibles, and I can't wait to see what he does in the preseason. You know, with Steven Jackson's unfortunate injury, it looks like, you know, he's not going to get a whole lot of time in the preseason. Door swings wide open for a guy like Freeman, for a guy like Antoine Smith. For me, I want to see a little bit more out of Antoine. This kid excites me. I just on a personal level, he's a great guy, and I want to see him get an opportunity. But, you know, these are two guys I'm going to be watching really closely in the preseason. And I don't think you should be nervous at all. I think there's some depth at that running back position that's going to be on display.
That's going to continue the debate between major Division I college football. He played at Florida State 3 years. You know, it's been said the best availability or best ability is availability. Didn't miss a game in 3 years at Florida State. Shined in the BCS title win over Auburn. So he's not afraid of the big lights. And again, you've mentioned it. He's been on point. Explodes out of the blocks coming out from behind Matt Ryan. Gets through the cuts. And Steven Jackson said that's the thing that amazed him most is he can pick up a huge amount of momentum in a short amount of time and stop on a dime and make guys miss. And at his size, his speed, it's going to be well utilized this year.
The thing, though, to really keep in mind here with this running back position through the preseason is you want to watch how they cut through lanes and how they get upfield and maybe get to the second level, but you got to watch how they pass protect, because that's going to be the most important thing. That's going to be the big separating factor here. And if you've got these three guys on paper right now talking about pass protecting, there's no one better than Jaquizz Rodgers. And Rodgers has certainly shown his abilities in previous Falcons games during the regular season, but when we talk about pass protection, I mean, this guy is good. So I think you're going to see a lot of different things from these running backs, and the preseason is going to be a lot of fun. I wouldn't be nervous about it, though. I'd be more excited about the opportunity to see what you would consider maybe the future of the running back position, you know, on display through four games in the preseason.
A lot of guys can run through tackles. Separates the, you know, the shifty running backs that come in situations versus the guys that can get in every day, which what Devontae Freeman wants to be is pass blocking. And you're exactly right. Jaquizz Rodgers really is one of the unsung heroes at that.
Completely agree. He I mean, you saw him in the lunchroom the other day, and you came to me and you were like, I can't believe like how he's put together, and he is built like a brick wall, and he utilizes that. He's only, you know, 5'7", 5'8", if that, you know, standing on phone books, but you know, he will get his nose right in between the numbers of a lot of defenders, and he's not afraid of it. So that's really what you're going to be looking for from that running back position.
All right, last question, and let it be known, this was my pick for the question, and you win. Steve from Brooklyn, you win a prize. We'll send you a signed mini helmet. We'll get your information. And again, thanks for all the questions. This one hit close to my heart. If you had to pick three Falcons to bring with you to survive a Sharknado, who would you pick?
Man, I mean, this question is just so amazing.
And just if you don't know, Sharknado.
If you Sharknado, don't know.
Sharknado version 2. Aired on Sci-Fi the other night, last night actually, and you know, if you thought Sharknado was one, the acting, you had all the, you know, 90210 cast. Well, just when you think they couldn't get any better, they put Kelly Osbourne, Andy Dick, Downtown Julie Brown.
Yeah.
I'm smelling an Oscar for this next.
The cameos
year,
were amazing. I was surprised that none of us on this set got a cameo in that thing last night.
Even the guy from Shark Tank was on there. Right?
Yes.
That was pretty good too. So.
Yes, that was a.
But if you don't know, you got to survive the Sharknado.
If you missed it, let me go over the plot here. Do we have like maybe 15 seconds? It's sharks inside a tornado, and that's really all you need to know is these are very live and rambunctious sharks that are attacking.
They get after it
via tornado, and so you know that now you're all caught up on both of them. But Sharknado 2 : the second one, which is what the official title is, just a masterpiece of science fiction.
They got after planes on this one.
There were planes, there was Kelly Osbourne, there was all kinds of stuff. The Mets, oh, the poor Mets, as if things couldn't get bad enough for the Mets, you know, the Mets got destroyed.
And all right, so who are you taking?
All right, so if I'm trying to survive a Sharknado, I'm wanting some girth, because great whites are big. So I'm going with some big guys. I'm going with Tyson Jackson, Paul Soliai, because I know that they're going to be able to keep the Sharks away. They're going to keep the Sharks at bay. I think they're going to take up their attention, just like they're going to take up the offensive line's attention. And my third guy is my wild card. This is my guy. This is my enforcer here. My enforcer is Gabe Kiremi, because, gosh darn it, if there is one guy on the Falcons roster that will punch a shark in the face, it's Gabe Kiremi. And that's a guy I want on my side, because I feel like these three guys would definitely help me survive and do quite a number on the Sharknado.
Listen, completely agree on the whole girth philosophy. Completely agree. So my two guys up front, I'm taking Rashid Hageman. I mean, he's got a tattoo.
He would be a good Sharknado fighter.
He would be.
A tattoo across his chest that says only the strong survive. So I'm following him point blank. John Asamoah, he put on size in the offseason. He's built like a brick house, and he'll lead the way as well. He'll distract the shark while I get away. Mm-hmm. And then I want, hey, Matty Ice. He for all the times he was under pressure last year, Sharks, are you kidding me? No way. Like he's not gonna collapse. He's gonna stand there, keep it cool, and make it a safe way for me to get away.
I like that.
You guys are thinking about this all wrong.
Oh, okay. All right. What do we got?
Here's how you survive the Sharknado. You take Matt Bryant. One, you know he'd want to fight a Sharknado.
That is true.
And the way you beat the Sharknado, what I've learned in one and two, can't wait for the third for the trilogy. But you got to throw like bombs and flames, and so I'm having Matt Bryant kicking flaming footballs into this Sharknado.
Oh, nice!
And I'm not taking Matt Ryan. I like that pick, but I need to make sure Matt Ryan doesn't get his arm bit off like Tara Reid. So yeah. We're gonna go in the backup, and I'm gonna take Yates in there in the Sharknado, and he's gonna be throwing, you know, football bombs into the Sharknado. And then third, I got to team Bryant up with Basher. I think Basher would also, you know, he's from the coast, Miami. He knows, you know, a thing or two about maybe a Sharknado coming in. So I'm going to have him kind of punting the bomb footballs into the Sharknado to defeat it.
Matt, that's smart. I mean, that's you really, really put some thought into this. And I'm impressed. I thought I had my guy with Kiremi, but that is truly, truly impressive. You nailed it. I
got nothing. That's tough to follow. Tough to follow.
I gave Sharknado 2 an hour of my life last night, and I didn't come up with that.
Yeah, so well.
You obviously put in more time than
let's,
I did.
Let's hope the Falcons have the Sharknado defense this year. You know,
hey,
just really,
let's do it.
Really take it over like the old Sharks do. But serious, thanks for all the questions. And we like the fun ones like that too, man. It's always fun to get outside the, you know, the practice field and think about things like that. So any more scenarios you have like that, you'll probably get paid for a Falcon Cats question, at least by me. Well, thanks, guys. It's been fun. Hey, next week, we're going to start talking about a football game, preseason game
Can't
one.
Wait.
How about that?
Can't wait.
It'll be home, first home game.
Yep.
That's going to be awesome.
Can't wait.
Against the Miami Dolphins. So for Reed Farron, for Jay Adams, I'm Matt Moore. Thanks for all the questions. Thanks for tuning in to AtlantaFalcons.com for this edition of the Falcon Cats podcast.